Good evening, everyone. My name is Caroline Lovett. I am from County Monaghan. I am married to Ivan and I have three sons, all whom are married, and I have five grandchildren. I was brought up in a small country farm. I was the second youngest of 11 children, and I always can remember helping Mum out on the farm, milking the cows, feeding calves, feeding pigs, just doing as you do when you're a child. You just love things like that in nature. But I can also remember that I was sent to Sunday school and I was sent to church every Sunday. And I can remember my Sunday school teacher very well, teaching us about Jesus, telling us the stories of what Jesus did and how God loved us. And it was an outing for us to get to church and to get to Sunday school, because we weren't one of those families that went on holidays or anything like that. So church and Sunday school for us was a treat. And we had neighbours that used to give us lifts. If we walked to church a lot of the time, and if it was raining, the neighbours would have stopped and give us a lift. But I can always remember sitting in church that God really didn't see me as a person, because we weren't one of the rich kids in the church. We weren't one of the families that stood out in the church or were heard in the church. We were just one of those quiet, ordinary families, because Dad didn't go to church much and Mum went when she could. But nevertheless, as I grew older and went to secondary school and met in with good Christian friends, I went to a mission one Sunday night in the Orange Hall in town with my two sisters and my sister-in-law, and the speaker there was saying to us that we need to be saved, that we need to repent of our sins, and we need to ask Jesus into our heart. And that night of that meeting, I can remember thinking that I was the only one there, that this man was speaking to me and to me alone. But I was afraid of what people might think of me if I had to put up my hand. I was afraid of my sisters laughing at me. So I just came home. And that night at home, this voice in my head was keep still telling me that I needed to be saved, that I needed to ask Jesus to forgive me for my sin. But as time went on, that went to the back of my head. And I would have went to dances, okay, on a Friday night. I would have went to the Orange Halls on a Friday night to the different dances. But I never drank and I never smoked, and I felt then that I was okay with God because I didn't do anything really bad. But as time went on, I was involved in the Garrett's Brigades in Monaghan Town, and I was a leader there, and I got married at the age of 20. And I had my first child when I was 22. And I was a leader in Garrett's Brigade for a few years, and then the captain left, and then the minister came to me and asked me would I take over the captaincy of the Garrett's Brigade. And I said yes, because I loved Garrett's Brigade. I had a great rapport with everybody. And I remember sitting one night doing the RK section for the explorers, and I was teaching them to seek, serve, and the motto of the Garrett's Brigade was just to seek, serve and follow Christ. And it suddenly dawned on me that here I was teaching young children to seek, serve and follow Christ, and I had never made that commitment myself. I had never sought him. I just thought that I was good enough, that I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. In my eyes, I never sinned. But then God spoke to me through the motto of the Garrett's Brigade, to seek, serve and follow Christ. And on that Wednesday evening, I went home very troubled that here I was, how could I teach children this when I didn't really teach myself it, that I hadn't made the commitment and I hadn't surrendered my life to God. So that night I couldn't sleep. I was very restless. I had a great relationship with my minister. And I couldn't sleep, and I can remember waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tossing and turning in the bed, and this voice was saying to me, you need to ask God to forgive you for your sin, you need to repent. And I did. I sat in my bed and I just said, Lord, take away my sin, forgive me for what I have done, and come into my heart, and come into my heart, Lord Jesus, to stay. And I felt a weight, the whole burden lifted off my shoulders, and I couldn't wait till the next morning came and to tell my minister that I had asked God to forgive me my sin and to come into my life. And I remember when I rang him, I was telling him what had happened, and I told him that all I wanted to do was to ring him and let him know. And he said, well, thankfully you didn't ring me at 3 a.m, but we had a laugh about it. But I rang him nevertheless the next morning, and I told him what had happened, because I wanted to tell him, because he was great encouragement to me, and I wanted him to pray with me. So while he prayed, I cried, and it was just an amazing feeling. I was just felt that the whole weight had gone off my shoulders, that I was a new creation and I was new in Christ. And as time went on, I went to different Orange Halls, different meetings. I sought God. I was a young growing Christian. I was a young mother, and I was a working mother. And, you know, it was, so it was a balancing act then, to balance my Christian walk with God and just to spend time with God, how to balance my day. But, you know, God was with me, and God helped me to spend time with him. He gave me the time in the day to do that. And I grew with God, and I went on with him, and I went to different church meetings, different missions, got involved in prayer meetings and stuff in the church. And as I am a nurse, I worked in the hospital, and I had God used me in situations that I didn't realize I was ever fit for. God revealed himself to me so often, because patients were given diagnoses, and patients were in the hospital beds afraid of what they might be told. And it was just great that I was able to just to reach out to them, to comfort them, and to be able to just to point them to Jesus, to tell them to, you know, that God will look after them, to put all their cares on him. And it was great because Mervyn Burnside was the minister, and he often said to me, Carolyn, you're the link in many chains, and I sure was. I had great opportunities, and some I missed, but a lot I didn't. And God really used me, even from a nurse perspective. Then in 2007, there was a team from our church was going out to South Africa, and they needed a nurse on the team. And Mervyn Burnside came to me and said, Karen, would you ever think about going out on a missionary team? And I thought, no way would I be able to do that. No way would I be equipped to do that, that I had no basic practical skills, that I was a nurse, and that was it. But I said, look, Mervyn, I'll think about it, and I said, I'll pray about it. And 2 weeks just before the team went, God really revealed to me, yes, that he made it possible for me to go, and I went on that team. And Pastor Ian Grant was the SIN coordinator at that time, and I did pass the interview and put in the application form, and I was heading off to Mukwasi in June, and in South Africa, and I went with the team, and God really used me there. God really showed me that it was right for me to be there with among the team. It was just great teamwork, and we met in with Liz Blair, who was the SIM worker at that time with the children in the townships, and I had great fellowship with the team and great fellowship with the South African people, and just we had great times doing holiday Bible clubs with the children, and just leading the children and indeed the Sunday school teachers to the Lord, and just being among them, showing them love and feeding them with food. They were all very poor children, but you know, God showed me that I was in the right place at the right time. And although it has been, there's been challenges in Christian walk with God, But you know, he says in his Bible, you know, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And many a time that I have this verse has come over and over in my mind when I have been in situations where I find myself that have been challenging, especially in my Christian walk. But you know, God has always went before me. God leads my path on a daily basis. So I continued to bring teams out to South Africa for 9 years, and I led the teams out, and we had great fellowship on the teams. It was great encouragement to me, and it was great building up my faith as well, and just knowing that God would never leave me nor forsake me, that He would be in control of every situation on the team and even in my life. So for 9 years we went out at Team Camp Mabbas Cross, and it was a truly blessed year because everyone had different talents and different skills, but we all had one thing in common, that we all loved Jesus, and that was our main aim going out to South Africa, was to teach the Word of God and to let the folk in South Africa, in the midst of their poverty, that Jesus loved them. And we won many souls, many children's clubs, many children came to faith, and God was in our midst then too. However, I suppose in my own personal life, I am a nurse, and I work full time, and I have faced many difficulties there too. But God is with me, and God has showed me that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And back in December 2019, just at Christmas time, I was approached by a family to see could I help them out about taking their mum home from hospital, who had a terminal diagnosis, and their dad also had a terminal diagnosis as well, and he was at home. And I just thought, Lord, I can't do this. I am so busy, Lord, I can't take on another commitment. And whilst I would have loved to help the family out, I just thought, I can't. I want to spend more time with my grandchildren, with my own family. And I was about to say no to the family whenever I got a phone call from a friend of theirs, and he asked me if I could at all, could I help this family out? And I just cried out to God. I said, God, who is going to help me? How am I going to commit my time to someone that needs 24/7? And I work full time as well. Plus, I want to see my own children and my own grandchildren. But however, I made one phone call and I got myself a nurse that was retired, and she was willing to help me out. And I rang the family back and I said, right, get your mum home and I will help you and support you as best I can. So on the 19th of January 2020, the little lady came home from the Dublin hospital, and I went in that night and I thought, I knew God had opened this door again. He didn't want me to say no to this family, because the phone call that I got that made me decide I would do it. And when I went into the home that night, I knew that this is where God wanted me to be. I put them to bed, and I sat at the wee lady's bedside night by night. And one of the nights after two or three nights, she was sitting and she started to talk to me and asked me, was she going to get better? And I said, you know, only God can answer that. And we talked about God and we talked about praying, and I asked her, you know, did she read her Bible? And she said that she did, but her faith was small and very, very, wasn't as good as it should be. And I said, but you have faith. And I said, well, sure. At that stage, I was stumbling to say, what am I going to say next? And I can remember I looked at a glass cabinet in front and I said, Lord, help me here. So just straight away, the 23rd Psalm came into my mind, the Lord is my shepherd. And as I read down through it on my phone, on verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no ill, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that verse, her and I, we talked about that verse night after night with her fear. I said, yeah, though I walk the shadow of death, for thou art with me. I said, God is with you. God will not leave you. He will not leave you alone. I said, but you need to put your trust in him. And I said, you just cast all your burdens to him and he will take care of you. Well, that lady got a peace that passes all understanding that night. And she cried the tears down her cheeks, and she had such a peace. So night after night, she had no worries. She had no cares because she knew that she was going to be with God. And then that really, God really spoke to me. God really showed me that that is where he wanted me to be, that that was his plan for me in this house. So the wee husband was still there, and we did the same with him each night. We prayed at the bedside with him, and he was not only grieving the loss of his wife, he was grieving for his own health and his own. He was afraid, and I had opportunities to pray with him as well, and there was nights I said, Lord, you may help me here. And his hymn was, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that man accepted the Lord Jesus as well into his life, because he wasn't only coming to terms with his own ailment, he was coming to terms with the grieving the loss of his wife. And 4 weeks later, he went to be with the Lord as well. So God really uses people. God really equips people for situations. And God has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives if we let him in and we do accept him as our Lord and Saviour. So during the 2020 then, our COVID-19 came into place. And the fear of everybody and us all, and me especially, because whilst I was a frontline worker, I was also one of those high-risk people with an underlying condition. And I had been hospitalised many a times with pneumonia. I was just one of those people that was afraid that I would just get the COVID-19, the virus, and not being able to fight it. But I was on holidays from work, and during the holidays I had been treated for pneumonia in February time, and I just didn't feel well, and it was my underlying condition is bronchiectasis, and I went to my GP and got steroids and antibiotics, and I had always this fear that it was the coronavirus that I had got then, because the antibiotics didn't work. But I continued to take my antibiotics and my steroids. And then I was on holidays from work and I sort of self-isolated myself. But at that stage, every bone in my body ached. It was as if someone had kicked me and left me lying there. I had a pain between my shoulder blades. My taste buds were all off. My tongue was all sore. My gums were sore. And I just didn't feel, the energy levels was gone, and I had slight shortness of breath, but I just put it down to the bronchiectasis. I didn't put it to anything more than that. And I remember speaking to my line manager, because of being a frontline worker, I was afraid that I would go in and I would contract the COVID-19. So I contacted her anyway, and I told her that I was going to cocoon, and I got on to my occupational health, and they said, yes, you are high risk, you need to cocoon. So I told my line manager about my symptoms, and she said, do you want to get tested? And I said, yeah, I want you to do no harm. And lo and behold, my test came back positive. I was shocked. I was absolutely in a bad place. I was afraid. I was afraid that my breathing was going to deteriorate, and that everything about the virus, that I was just going to get the worst of the worst. So I really, during my time of self-isolation, I really clung to God, and I prayed, and I clung to Psalm 91, which I want to share with you now, just a few verses. And this is just the psalm that carried me through the COVID-19. So I just want to share four verses with you, and you can read it yourself sometime when you have time. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. From the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So I want to put verse 4 into me, and this is what it says to me, and this is how I love this psalm. Is He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and rampart. And when I was tested positive for the COVID, this psalm really kept me going. This psalm really gave me the freedom, not the freedom, the support that God was in control of my life. It just reminded me that there was none of this was I could do none of this on my own, but only with God. Because whilst I went to bed thinking that my breathing was different every day, waiting for a change in my breathing, it never happened. I sometimes imagine my breathing a bit shorter today or tonight than it was this morning. But, you know, God surrounded me. He kept me under his wings, and He covered me with His feathers, and God protected me from having any serious side effects from the COVID virus. And I just want to thank God for His faithfulness to me, for covering me with His feathers and keeping me safe during my experience of the virus, and just how He has protected me on the front line, and that He has not let any harm come to me. But God is in control of our lives. He knows everyone's situation. And I just hope that my testimony is an encouragement to you, to the listeners here in Abbots Cross Congregational, and that no matter what in life, God has a plan for each one of us. God can use us no matter how little or how we think we don't have what God needs. God has a plan for us, and it's up to us to let Him into our heart. And I just want to leave the word of a song that I used to sing every night and listen to on YouTube is, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives." I hope that my testimony has been an encouragement to you, and that as God has a plan for your life, that you will let Him use you in the way that He used me. Thank you for listening.